Would you turn with me, please, in the word of the Lord to the 6th chapter of John's Gospel. John chapter 6. And when we have found the place and with the word of God open before us, let us unite our hearts together once again in prayer and seek now the Lord's help. Our most loving God and our gracious Father, we come now to thine own holy word. And Lord, we pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. We pray that he might grant us now ears to hear and a heart that is open and ready and already prepared to receive thy truth. And we pray, our God, that as we consider the word this morning, give us, Lord, not only ears to hear, but Lord, give us eyes to see. And may we see afresh today the one who is altogether lovely, and the one who is the fairest of 10,000 to the souls of many today. So Lord, come and grant us that help. Fill us with the Holy Spirit of God, that Lord, we might preach the word, and in so doing, preach Christ. In the Savior's precious name we pray. Amen. Our text for this morning is the verse 35. John chapter 6 and verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. When Moses was chosen and called by the Lord to lead Israel out of Egypt, the Lord told him that he must go and speak unto Pharaoh. He said, Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses wasn't too sure about what he would tell Pharaoh and what he would say unto him. Neither was he sure about what he would say unto the children of Israel. And so Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is thy name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. Exodus 3 verses 13 and 14. Tell them, I am, has sent me unto you. I am the incommunicable name of God. And Moses could not speak in any greater name, nor with any greater authority than in the name of the great I am. But this is a name that not only belongs to the Father of Israel, it is a name that belongs to the King of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is the great I Am. Because on a certain day, when speaking to the Jews, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." John 8, verse 58. And the Savior, during the course of his earthly ministry, often used that title when referring to himself. Turn, please, to John chapter 18. The crowd has come to Gethsemane to arrest the Savior. And in John chapter 18 and verse 4, we read, "Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus saith unto them, I am he." You notice the word "he" is in italics. It's not in the original. So what the Lord Jesus really said was, "I am." And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Verse 6. "As soon then as he had said unto them, I am," they went backward and fell to the ground. There's the power of that name. The power of the name of God, I am. For once Christ said, "I am," his enemies fell backward, fell to the ground. And now here in our text, the name of the great I Am appears again. He spoke these words in response to a challenge by the Jews there in the temple. Verse 30. They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God," the bread of God, "is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." And here in these verses, the Lord Jesus himself likens himself unto the manna which fell in the wilderness to feed the children of Israel. And the Lord Jesus tells his hearers that he is the true bread, or the true manna from heaven. He's the bread of God. Saying, "I am the bread of life. I am the true manna." And since the Lord Jesus himself likens himself to the manna, then we would do well to consider the parallels between the manna of the Old Testament and the manna of the New. That's what I want to do this morning. And the Lord Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," likening himself to the manna in the wilderness. And the first thing I want us to notice this morning is how the manna was received. Would you turn with me, please, to Exodus 16? You might put a marker in Exodus 16 because we'll be referring to this chapter. We see how the manna was received by the children of Israel. The first thing that we notice about the manna is that it came to the children of Israel, first of all, as a sign. Look at verse 7 of Exodus 16. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. Notice the bread came in the morning. The manna came in the morning. And what did the Lord say in verse 7? And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. And so when the manna would fall in the wilderness every morning, and in that particular morning, the glory of the Lord would be manifest to the children of Israel. The manna would be accompanied by the glory of the Lord. So in the bread or the manna, the children of Israel would see the glory of the Lord. And here, straight away, our thoughts are turned to the Lord Jesus, the bread of life. For when the Lord Jesus came into the world, he came into the world manifesting the glory of the Lord. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. When the Word was made flesh, we beheld his glory. Just as the manna was a sign of the glory of God, so when we see Jesus Christ, what do we see? Why, we see the glory of God. We see the glory of God in Jesus Christ. So the manna was a sign of God's glory. But then I noticed, secondly, regarding the manna, that it was special. Something very special about the manna. Look again at Exodus 16 and verse 14. And when the dew that leg was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. The children of Israel, when they saw the bread on the ground, they said, it is manna. Or you can see from your Bible margin there, the word manna means, what is it? What is it? There's something very special about this bread, because it was a bread that they had never seen before. This was unique bread. This was bread that had come down from heaven. Just like Christ. Isn't Jesus Christ unique? For there's nobody like him. Of all the men that have been born into this world, from the day that Adam was created, there's not one man like Christ. No one was ever born like Christ, or lived like Christ, or died as Christ died. No one ever defeated death as Christ defeated death. There is no one like him, because he's both God and man. When he spoke, Men were astonished at his doctrine. When the officers of the Pharisees went to arrest him, they returned empty-handed. And when they were challenged why they had not arrested him, we discover that Christ's preaching had arrested them. For what did they say? They say, never man spake like this man. Never. We have never heard preaching like this before. We've never heard a man speak as this man speaks. He's unique. There is no one like him. And when he put forth his power, what did they say of him? Why, they said, we have never seen it on this wise. We've never seen anything like this before. And when he stilled the tempest, those closest to him there in that ship that night, what did they say? They said, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the seas obey him. Even his disciples who knew him best were amazed at the things that he did. And they said, what manner of man is this? They'd never seen anyone like him before. He's the bread of life. He's special. And believer, isn't he special to you? Isn't he your special friend? Isn't he your special companion? He's special. The next thing we notice about the manna is how it was seen. Look at Exodus 16 again, verse 31. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came onto the borders of the land of Canaan. So they ate manna the whole time they were in the wilderness. And what did this manna look like? Verse 14. And there lay a small round thing, as small as hoar frost, on the ground. We're told that it was as white as coriander seed. And so the manna was white. Now, white in the Bible is a picture or a color of purity. And no one was purer than the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. He's the Lamb who is without blemish and without spot. He's holy. He's harmless. He's undefiled and he's separate from sinners. Everything about him is pure. His heart is pure. His thoughts are pure. His ways are pure. His words are pure. His motives are pure. He's the pure Lamb. Even his enemies, even those who hated him, even those who stood against him, could not find anything in him whereby they might accuse him. What? What if this morning we could raise up Pilate and have Pilate stand before us today? And what if we were able to say to Pilate, Pilate, what think ye of Christ? What would Pilate say? Pilate would say, I find no fault in him. No fault. And Pilate, what of your wife? What did your wife say about this Jesus of Nazareth? And I hear Pilate's wife say to her husband, have thou nothing to do with that just man? And even the one who sold him for 30 pieces of silver. If we could interview Judas Iscariot today, what would Judas say of Christ? Judas would say, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. His enemies could find no fault in him. Oh, blessed Lamb of God, blessed bread of heaven, so pure, so innocent, so faultless. And yet we know today that he who was without sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Blessed Savior. Then we notice something else. We're told about its size. Exodus 16, verse 14. And when the Jew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. So we're told about its size. It was small. A small round thing lay there on the ground. So when the children of Israel looked upon this manna, they saw the small, humble piece of bread. That's all it was. And the smallness of the manna would speak to us of the humility of Christ. He is the true bread, he said. He is the manna, the bread of God. And yet we behold his humility. Consider the humility of the Lord Jesus. Consider his humility in the place that he came to. When he came into the world as the bread from heaven, as the bread of God, where did he come to? Micah tells us, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little, there it is, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from everlasting to everlasting. The place that he came to speaks to us of his humility. Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little, little among the nations of Judah. Among the thousands of Judah. Think also of his parents. The home into which the Savior came speaks of his humility. His earthly parents, what did they say of Christ? We have it there in our reading in that John 6. They said, is not this the son of Joseph? The carpenter. He was born into a humble home. So humble and so poor that when Joseph and Mary went up to the temple, they could not afford to bring a lamb with them for the sacrifice, but they brought two turtle doves. And that was the law of God. A family who could not afford a lamb were permitted to bring two turtle doves. That's what Joseph and Mary brought. It was a poor home. And that was the home Christ was born into. See his humility. In his place, in his parents, in his people. Think of the people the Lord Jesus mingled amongst. Think of the people that he attended to most of all. Who were they? Why he called common fishermen to be his disciples. And when he went out to minister, he ministered amongst the lepers, the halt, the poor, and the blind, the nothing, and the nobodies of this world. Oh, the humility of Christ. That he came from so high and stooped so low. That he might save individuals like you and me. So when you think of the manna being a small round thing, think of the humility of Christ, the bread of life. But then we learn something else about the manna. We learn about its shape. For we're told that it was a small round thing. That's how it's described, as a small round thing. If you look at something that's round, you can't find a starting point or a finishing point. A circle doesn't have a beginning or an end. Again, this reminds us of Christ. Jesus Christ didn't have a beginning and doesn't have an end. Hasn't Micah already told us that? His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And when Paul wrote to the Hebrews, he spoke about Melchizedek. And we read in Hebrews 7 and verse 1, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace." Verse 3. "Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life." There it is. "Without beginning of days or end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually." In my humble opinion, I believe Melchizedek is Christ. And we're told of Melchizedek, he is without beginning of days or end of life. He is eternal. Jesus Christ is the eternal God. He's the great I Am. He made all things, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's the bread of life. That's why he's able to say, "I am the bread of life, for before Abraham was, I am." But then we find out something else. Look at verse 31 of Exodus 16. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. There's its sweetness. It's not too difficult to see the similarity, that draw the parallel between the manna and the bread of life. What was it that the psalmist said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And when describing her beloved, and really she was describing the Lord Jesus, the bride in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16 said, "His mouth is most sweet." And it is true, isn't it? It's true, dear child of God, that everything about Christ is sweet. His company is sweet. His fellowship is sweet. His words are sweet. His smile is sweet. He's more to be desired than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Psalm 19, verse 10. That's how sweet he is. He's sweeter than the honeycomb. Sinners don't know anything about the sweetness of Christ. For Christ is the sweet bread of life. That's how the manna was recognized. Quickly, we notice how the manna was received. First thing we notice about what the children of Israel received is that it was given. Exodus 16, verse 4. "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the children and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my ways or no. I will rain bread from heaven for you." Verse 15. "And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." So we notice here regarding the manna being received by the children of Israel that it was given. Now we see that the children of Israel in no way deserved this gift of the manna. They didn't deserve the gift of manna. Because the beginning of the chapter tells us they did nothing but murmur against the Lord and chide with Moses. They deserved rather just to be left to perish in the wilderness. But instead the Lord in wrath remembered mercy and gave them the gift of manna. Sure, it's not just like us. There's no difference. Didn't God give us His Son? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And Isaiah has told us, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Did we deserve that gift? The gift of God's Son? Not at all. We deserved the darkness of hell forever. That's what we deserved. We deserve the wrath of a holy God. We deserved the punishment of God upon our sins to be cast out of His sight forever. But what did He do instead? He gave us a gift. He gave us the gift of His Son. The darling of His bosom. And we didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve such a gift. John 6 and verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. See? The bread of heaven was given to us. So we see that the manna was a gift. It was given. We see also that it was gathered. In Exodus 16 again, in verse 16, and down to verse 21, verses 16 to 21, the instructions are given to the children of Israel by Moses what they were to do with the manna. And he told them they were to gather. There's the order that was given. Verse 16, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating. We're told it again in verse 17, and again verse 18, and again verse 21. It's the same message. Gather the manna, gather the manna, gather it. That was the order that was given. Now we know that the manna would have been no good to the children of Israel if they hadn't have gathered it. If they hadn't have gathered the manna, they would have died of starvation. They would have perished in the wilderness. If they wanted to live, they had to gather the manna. And Jesus Christ is the bread of life. And we must embrace Christ. That's the order. If we are to live and to know eternal life, we must then accept Jesus Christ, just as the children of Israel must accept the bread that lay on the ground. And they had to gather it. And the Lord Jesus said in John 6, in verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. We must partake of Christ if we are to live. After all, He is the bread of life. But there's something else about the manna. We're told there that it had to be gathered. Now, if you look in verse 16 to 21, you will find there that this is the thing which the Lord had commanded, gather of it every man. So this was a gift to the children of Israel, and every man, it was offered to every man. The manna was offered to every man. Now, if you take time to read through those verses, 16 to 21, you'll find that little phrase, every man, five times. In the instructions that are given about gathering the manna, every man is mentioned five times. Five is the number of grace. And is it not the grace of God that offers Jesus Christ to sinners? Sure it is. We could have been left to perish in this wilderness. But God in His grace has offered His Son to sinners. That's the free offer of the gospel. I believe in the free offer of the gospel to all of mankind. And the manna was offered to every man. Unfortunately, not every man will accept the manna, the bread of life. But here you have the grace of God in offering to us His Son that we deserve it. Not at all. Did we deserve Christ? Not at all. It was grace. It was all of grace. It was amazing grace. It was marvelous grace. And in John 6 and verse 51, you read there that the bread of life is on offer and any man can come and take. Have you tasted of Christ yet? Why not come today? Any man may receive Him. And finally, we notice regarding the manna as it was received, it was ground. It was a gift. It was gathered. And then we're told that it was ground. In Numbers chapter 11 and verse 8, and the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it, and the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. So the people went about and gathered it and then they ground it. And in grinding it, we're told that they beat it. And they baked it in the pans and made bread of it. That's what they did before they ate the bread. Likewise, if it was only the life of Christ that was an offer to us, we who were dead and unregenerate sinners, that would have been no benefit to us at all. Yes, we would have stood back and admired His life, His impeccable character. We would have admired His sinless life. We would have admired His flawless conduct. But it would not have benefited us at all. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so what had to happen to the bread of life before he was of any benefit to us? He had to be ground. He had to be beaten. He had to be put to death. And it's the Christ of Calvary that saves us. It's the Christ of the cross that gives us life. The Christ of the cross that takes away our sin. Smitten, stricken, and afflicted. See Him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected. Yes, my soul, 'tis He. 'Tis He. And lastly, how was the manna remembered? How did the children of Israel remember the manna? Well, in Exodus 16 again, and there in verse 35, the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land of inhabited. They did eat manna until they came onto the borders of the land of Canaan. 40 years they ate the manna. And as they reached Canaan and looked back on their journeying in the wilderness, how would they have remembered the manna? They would have remembered, first of all, that the manna was what saved them. Because they believed they were going to perish in the wilderness. But as they look back upon the manna, they remembered the manna saved them. We can remember, and I'm sure today, we could remember 1,000 things about Christ. But that which we remember best of all is that He's the one who saved us. He saved us. And when we sit at the table as Christians, we hear those words, "Take, eat. This is my body which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." We'll never forget that day that Jesus saved us. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I am telling, He made all the darkness depart. And I'll never forget that day, 5th of May, 1969, at about 9:30 on a Monday evening. I'll never forget the day that He saved me. They remembered the manna saved them. They would remember that the manna satisfied them. 40 years. And they had manna every day. Psalm 78, verse 29 says, "So they did eat and were well filled." Glory to God, isn't that Christ? Doesn't He satisfy us? Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me, there's love and life and everlasting joy. Lord Jesus found in Thee. He satisfies. They received the manna every day, with the exception of the Sabbath, and they got twice as much the day before. Every day they receive fresh manna from heaven, fresh bread from heaven. Isn't that Jesus Christ? Isn't He fresh to us every morning? There's nothing stale about Jesus Christ. His mercies are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness. They remembered that the manna saved them. They remembered that the manna satisfied them. And they remembered that the manna sustained them. Every day for 40 years, the manna sustained them. Every day for 40 years, the manna was there for them. Every day for 40 years, the manna did not fail them. How many years have you been saved? 20, 30, 40, maybe more. And I'm sure that you can say today, "Not once has the bread of life failed me." He never fails. He never fails. He said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger." Satisfies. "And he that believeth in me shall never thirst." He's a wonderful Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our most loving and gracious Father, we return Thee thanks today for the Lord Jesus, the manna from heaven, the gift of God's dear Son, a gift, dear Lord, that we did not deserve. A gift as sinners we did not deserve. We thank Thee, Lord, for giving us the grace to gather the manna to embrace Jesus Christ. And, O Lord, for any today who have not made Christ their Savior, O Lord, we pray that they might come and receive the offer of salvation and receive Christ as He is freely offered in the gospel. Lord, write the word upon our hearts. And may this Sabbath day we spend time to meditate upon the word. And Lord, bless the meeting tonight and the young people and our brother Schultz as he preaches the word. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.